for the podcast.
If you're looking for pizza now, they're ready when you are. Got a dirty car? Clean it up at the Brownsville Car Wash. Just 5 miles off of I-5. Exit 216. If you're looking for pizza now, they're ready when you are.
You think that part's written for him? His type of a character that he usually plays?
Or he might have brought it to it.
Or he might be like throwing in his own things. Because it's so perfect when it's like that line when he's at that van buying that stuff. Do I look like a guy that wants a pink fucking scanner?
And
it's like,
post
that's a Billy Bob line, you know?
And in the post office, am I going to have to come back there and get it myself?
Yeah.
And the guy just kind of cocks his head and goes,
yeah.
This could be for anyone because it's just it's just addressed to a city. He's like, that's to me. Give it to me. He's like, okay.
Yeah.
It's like, you're going to turn around and get in your car and you're going to go drive away because this doesn't want to get ugly or whatever.
Yep. Said. Yeah, and then the whole Tom Hanks son thing.
He's such a puss.
I know. I always wonder. I wonder how much he asks his dad for advice.
He probably shuns
He's
it.
Like, what should I do in this scene? I'm just sitting at this table, but I'm supposed to be all flustered.
Just yell, Wilson!
Tom Hanks has a huge typewriter collection.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Does he have a lot of monkeys, too? He's got a room full of typewriters with monkeys just...
Yep, writing scripts for him.
Someday... He'll get one script.
That's where fucking
big.
That's where Big came from.
Turner and Hooch. Wait, was he just in those or did he write those? Is he a big writer?
I don't think he's a big writer.
Did he write Philadelphia or is he just an actor?
No. He might have had producing.
He's like, I've always wanted to be a gay man dying of AIDS in Philadelphia. You know who I've been seeing in a bunch of shows is the commissioner from The Wire, the black dude, not the white guy. You know, they had the kind of round-faced black dude that was the commissioner.
With the mustache?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He was in fucking Maximum Overdrive. Right before fucking Gus Fring got killed.
Oh, really?
So we got The Wire and Breaking Bad in there. And then he was in, what was I watching? Albino Alligator. Which is Gary Sinise and Matt Dillon. It's directed by Kevin Spacey, late 90s.
I think I've seen that.
It's pretty good.
I watched it. I'm like, oh, Kevin Spacey directing something, and I watched it, but I don't remember anything about it.
Wonderful, but it was okay. They were running from the cops, and they hold themselves up in this little speakeasy bar where there's no back door,
mm-hmm.
and the cops are all outside, and the whole thing is just them in the standoff. Not bad, though, but that dude was in that, too. He's like, it's weird. I watched three movies, just randomly picked old school movies from Netflix, and it's got the same dude in them from The Wire, which I would have never recognized if I hadn't watched The Wire.
You wrote that thing you do.
What do I do? What do I do?
That thing you do.
I don't do anything.
Remember that movie? We had Tom Hanks as the manager of that band that was kind of like the Beatles.
Oh, yeah, yeah. That was kind of later in his career, too, like late 90s or something.
96, yeah.
I do remember that.
I don't know if you wrote the songs in it. I think you might have even wrote the songs in there.
I rented the VHS tape of that and watched it, I remember.
It was all right. It was entertaining. I remember that. You know, and the songs were catchy.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Keep that heroin away from me.
Said the clue, he was 12 years old. Fell from the roof on East 29. Kathy was 11 when she pulled the plug. 26 reds and a bottle of wine. Bobby got leukemia, 14 years old. He looked like 55 when he died. He was a friend of mine.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Dead People Podcast for the day. It's Terry and Gas Comedy Show. Number.
Hello and welcome.
What are we, 696? 7?
697.
Wow, we're almost to
300 approaching quickly.
Yeah, but we apologize for missing Friday, but you know, it was a busy week after Mother's Day and everything, and a bunch of my friends died. That's why I'm playing
sorry,
this. That's
man.
Okay. We're going to get serious about it for a minute and then we'll get funny because can't be too serious. But we got Jim Carroll in the background. Did you ever watch that movie called The Basketball Diaries? With
No, I didn't. I chose to watch Hoop. dreams instead.
No, Leonardo DiCaprio, dude.
Mm-hmm.
About heroin addiction and shit.
Yep.
Yeah, it was a pretty good movie, actually, but...
There was two movies that came out at that time, one of that one.
Of the same dude?
No. Oh. But there was also another one, The Hoop Dreams, came out, and it was a documentary where this guy had followed two young basketball players from the time that they were, like, 7 or something, up until the time that they were in high school and stuff, and it was really interesting. I think one kind of fell apart and went into the drug thing, and then one kind of went to go into college.
I might have seen Hoop Dreams, maybe not though.
It was very interesting, just because you watch these two. It's real that they're growing up, and they both have talent, and one goes, and then one kind of falters and goes into that lifestyle.
Yep.
Anyway, you're talking about Leonardo DiCaprio's...
Oh, it's a basketball diary. It was based on the life of this guy who's singing here, Jim Carroll.
Mm-hmm.
And my buddy who listens to the podcast sometimes, I think he listens in Mexico right now, Dennis Sinnott.
Mm-hmm.
He had this record when I was a kid. You know, he was always into the latest, greatest punk rock and new wave and stuff. And this song always tripped me out.
So this is the guy, the Basketball Diaries is about this guy?
Leonardo DiCaprio played Jim Carroll, yeah.
Now, what's that have to do with basketball? This guy was played basketball?
They were in a college school, and they played basketball on the school team, and then they all got into heroin.
And then he went to punk rocker?
Pretty much, yeah.
All right.
And then a lot of his friends died. And this is a true story about all of his friends who died, and it tells the true story about how, Bobby got leukemia at 14 years old, and he looked like 65 when he died. He was a friend of mine. It's a pretty cool song. I've always liked it. But this week has been an onslaught of dead friends for me, and I'm lucky because they weren't super close friends that I hang out with every day, but people that I knew. The youngest of them had been to my house just about 2 weeks before he passed away. So kids, stay away from heroin. This kid was 22 years old.
Man.
And he was in a care facility already for rehab in Albany, right here where we are. Never had a history of
heroin. The Betty Chevy Clinic?
Never had a heroin problem. Never had a history of being caught with it. He'd had a history of other drugs and other mental problems. And they went in for a morning checkup to check on him, and he was slumped over with a needle still in his arm.
Wow.
Yeah, so rest in peace, Zach Prim. Was a good friend. Well, a friend of Mike's and a good friend of some of our kids and his mom. I don't know if you remember, and if any listeners remember, I said Dana's cousins were in town a few months ago, and we met a lady who had family that was from the same town that we're just talking about how small of a world it is and how she
It is a small world.
She knew those people. Well, that's the lady whose grandson died. And then also a regular of the Halsey Tavern and the karaoke days back at Woody's. He was known as Fuzzy. His name was Ray Branson. He was 50. They found him face down in a canal in Lebanon by Rose Street. Yeah, he was drunk. He was just a drunk. And he'd had a problem with alcohol all of his life.
So was it like, was no there rocks play. There or like you hit his head like falling down and
possibly, I don't know. I just read what was in the paper and I saw a lot of that. He was from Halsey.
Sad.
Yeah, from the Halsey area. So a 22-year-old. And then to top it all off, you might have heard this because it was in the paper, but my son, John, who just turned 21, we wished him happy birthday, I think, last week. His mom's boyfriend, 32 years old, died on the job, basically, at Mary River's Lumber. Some mill in Corvallis, Mary's River Lumber, I think it is, as you're headed to the coast out there. It was about 3:30 in the afternoon. He's pulling green chain. It was that day that was super hot, last Wednesday, when it was like 90. And he just started exhibiting really strange behavior and running around and yelling. And then people were trying to help him and get him water. And he was like trying to punch him and freak him out. And then he like went into like a not comatose, but like a trancey kind of state where his eyes were open, but he was non-responsive. And then they took him to the hospital and then he died a few hours later. And he was 32.
Wow.
And then they posted the fucking, I hate the media and everything. They posted, and we are media, so I hate myself. No, but they posted something on the Democrat Herald website saying that the Albany man who passed away, it could have had something to do with him using spice, which is the fake pot that you buy from the head shop.
Oh, yeah. Really?
Well, that's what they said in the paper, and I talked to his girlfriend, which is my baby's mama. You know, it's close to my heart. I've met that guy. He came to my shows
certainly
a couple times. Like I said, he wasn't my best friend that I hung out with every day, but he was a
mentor. You knew him, and you guys shared the responsibility of...
He was a really good mentor to my son, and took him fishing a lot and took Shelly fishing a lot, and they kind of trying to... I don't think they're trying to, but by doing what they do, they smear his name a little bit, because I found out from sources close to the family that he'd been having nosebleeds and migraines and like minor seizures over the last week. So
he needed House to come in there and diagnostic him.
Yeah. And if he did, you know, House, it seems like 50% of House's things all have to do with like anal bleeding.
Dude, there was another one I watched the other day, dude.
Did it have anal bleeding?
Yeah, there was this chick on the gurney in the hospital, right? And
there's always like a blood stain right by their butt.
She's just talking to the doctor, not Dr. House, because he doesn't talk to patients unless he has to. Unless he needs to make them not lie or something. It's a real convoluted show sometimes.
I need to watch it more. I've only watched parts of a few episodes.
But, yeah, and she's just sitting there, and she's like, I need to get up. I need to go to the bathroom. Oh, I'm sorry. I just had a bowel movement.
Oh, God.
And the doctor's like, oh, that's okay, and pulls back the sheet, and it's just blood everywhere. It's just like a pool of blood. I'm like, what?
And I'd never noticed it.
It's like you just dropped 16 ounces of fucking...
I can't remember what comic said it, but that's who point... A stand-up comic was doing a bit about it, and he says, why does... Like 50% of this is totally just...
It is a good amount. It's an amount that
I'm not quoting
makes
this.
You
this is a paraphrasing of a comic that I can't recall his name, but he said something about the amount of anal bleeding that's going on in that thing. But anyway, before we get into all that, you know, a little bit of a serious note to all the families, if anyone's listening, and I know that a lot of people in the Halsey area are missing Fuzzy. He was a caring dude, and 50 is way too young to die, and so is 22 and 32. Like I posted on my Facebook, you got three people within a week, and their collective age was just a little over 100. That's not how things are supposed to be going.
Yeah, it sucks, man.
So anyway, on to better and brighter things, and that's what it made me post the thing that said, life is so short, you never know when it's going to be cut off, so... Get out there and live it. Enjoy it.
Yep.
And be vital. Do stuff.
Speaking of cut off and
ouch.
Death.
Okay. What'd you cut off?
In 1536, today is the day that Anne Boleyn was beheaded.
Anne Boleyn?
Mm-hmm. Boleyn.
I call it Anne Boleyn. Isn't that her name?
I don't know what her name is. I even watched The Tudors.
I'm pretty sure it's pronounced Boleyn. And I don't just say that because they cut her head off and it could have been used as a bowling ball.
I thought it was that song by, what's her name?
Boleyn?
No. Boleyn. Boleyn.
Oh, that Dolly Parton song?
Yeah.
Ellen Boleyn.
Is that really a Dolly Parton song?
Yeah.
Because I thought everybody's done that song,
well,
right?
She wrote it, though.
Yeah. Have you ever sung that song?
I have.
Yep, everybody sung that song.
I know. I used to sing it in a country band that I...
Oh, really?
Tailor Made.
Huh.
Yep. But I didn't sing all of it because we had a chicken in the band.
That was before the White Stripes made it big, right?
Yeah. Just like,
one more cup of coffee, holler out.
Which I was like, whoa, that's different than Bob Dylan.
Yeah.
Cup of coffee.
Yeah.
It's Boleyn. It's pronounced Boleyn.
Boleyn? Let's go, Anne Boleyn.
No, it's Boleyn. Vowels are different in those days, so the spelling is different than the pronunciation.
Really?
And Boleyn.
Hmm.
That's Boleyn.
I was reading a little bit about speech and pronunciations this week.
Speech!
Think of the P, right?
Yeah.
P in words.
Yeah.
And the difference between the two words, pin and spin.
Not much.
It's not much, but you can tell, though.
Oh, big time.
You know? There's a whole study of that.
There was a bogus study or a bogus quiz you take on Facebook. It wasn't on Facebook, but it was on a link on Facebook to find out what your American accent is.
Oi.
And so I took it, and it asked you questions like, do you say this word that rhymes with this word, or does it rhyme with this word? Do you say bar like the way you say far, or do you say it like fa, and
bar.
All the other thing. And so I answered correctly on all of them how I talk,
mm-hmm.
and it said I had a Maine accent, Northeastern. How's the Nor'eastern coming? I wasn't talking really? Like Fred Ginn.
I'd like to take that quiz.
It's on my Facebook somewhere.
Because I always wonder, like, you know, because I don't really think that people in the Northwest really have an accent, but they probably do to other people in other areas.
And
I
in the Pacific
it.
Northwest, people think that they don't have an accent. We think we don't have an accent. We think that Southerners and New England people, like Boston and New York and Maine.
Canadians.
And, oh, yeah, okay.
And,
Hey.
And then otherwise, it just sounds like a different language.
Yeah. And you know, you said something about today in history.
Today in history,
You know what happened yesterday in history?
What?
Fucking Mount St. Helens blew up yesterday.
Oh, really? It's getting ready to blow up again, I heard.
It was
30 degrees.
34 years ago.
I know. I remember when it blew up. I remember I watched it out from the back of my front door.
Doot, doot, doot.
Mm-hmm. I could see it.
Where were you? You.
In Lebanon.
Oh.
The ash was falling on me.
Oh, I know. They said that ash was falling states away, and that some people in other states could see the dark cloud coming. Now, I was on my way, like, the next day. This all rhymes. Hey, what do you say? Mm-hmm. We were on our way up to Portland to the Shriners
in 80?
Yeah.
All right.
And it was snowing ash, and we came out of the Shriners Hospital after being in there for a few hours, and there was, like, at least a good half inch or an inch on my brother's Pontiac Catalina. That's a thing. That's a kind of car.
Yep.
But yeah, they have some awesome new pictures that had not been released until now of really good fucking close-up pictures of all the they look like fucking mushrooms.
They finally dug the cameras out.
Yeah, they did.
I see. I remember like looking out my front door there when that was going on.
Dude.
You know, and I remember seeing giant cloud of stuff. But then I really think about it, and I was only 4. And when this memory's happening, it's in a house that we didn't move into until I was 6.
So you, so this is a memory that someone has instilled into you.
Yeah, yeah. But every time I think about it, that's the mental image I have, and so it's real to me.
I was talking about that, on my other show.
It's real to me.
Stories on One Leg. Check that out. But I was talking about your youngest memories because me and my dad got into a conversation about it. And, like, what can you remember, like, where you actually have a visual?
Mary Lou Henner said baptism.
I know. I think we talked about that. Mm-hmm. But that's bullshit. I remember something. I asked him when it happened, and he said it was in 1971, making me 3, anywhere between 3 to 3 and 4 months. And I specifically remember, and it sucks because it was the first time my parents ever got busted.
Ah.
And there was 6 cops at the front door. And I remember, I keep saying member. I remember. And I
but
remember,
back then you said member,
I said member, and I remember that they wouldn't let us drink the lemonade or eat the brownies because they thought that there could be drugs in them.
Ah.
And someone had called the cops on my dad, a so-called friend, said, he's got a lot of drugs over there. And then he called my dad and said, hey, I just called the cops on you. This is what happens in the 70s. He's like, yeah, they were on me, and they said that if I didn't give them some information, you know. So he told the cops, and then he called my dad and said, hey, the cops are coming. I called them on you. Sorry. Get rid of all your shit.
I had a situation go down once where I had, like, cops around and stuff, and they were looking for someone had lived there at one time, and I just happened to be there, and they called, and I answered the phone, and they asked me if I had seen him.
Yep.
And I'm like, he's not here. I haven't seen him, which was the truth, because he'd left, but it wasn't that long before. And then all of a sudden, they said, you better not be lying, and all of a sudden, I look up, and I see him, like, running through the yard, the guy that they're looking for.
Well, I hadn't seen him when you asked me the first time.
Yeah, and I'm like, well, you know, I mean, that could be him out there running.
That could be.
And then he came, and I'm like, dude, they're coming here, man. Yeah. You can't be here. And
I don't got
off.
My glasses on right now, so I can't. A figure did go across my window.
Yep. Yeah. I'm not here, you know. It wasn't somebody I was willing to, like, go to jail for, so. Yeah, they were going to get him anyway. You know,
yeah.
You can't really run unless you're going to Alaska. right?
Well, you can run to Alaska and still get found up in there.
Certainly, yeah. But, you know, especially these days, probably.
You can't.
You know, but you back in the 80s, you could probably run to Alaska and be pretty safe.
See, but in this day and age,
you know,
the old school song comes true that says, you can run, but you cannot hide.
You cannot hide.
I mean, you can hide, but they're going to find you. Oh, yeah. What the fuck? Oh, breaking
yeah,
news.
Yeah, you're going to have to leave a paper trail somewhere, right?
They found Casey Kasem. So that was an update from last week.
He tried. He didn't even make it all the way to, up to Alaska. He
was in Puget, Sound.
I know.
He was actually in the sound.
Well, he thought, I'm going to go northwest until I hit the ocean.
He's got dimensions.
Which he thought it was Alaska, and he's like, oh, here I am.
And today, a long-distance dedication for a lost lover. And we're going north to Alaska, but I only made it to Puget Sound. Yeah, I heard some outtakes of him on YouTube, mm-hmm. him getting mad and cussing.
Yeah.
It's like, and today. On
about
the top
U2?
No, he's talking on the top 40 and he's doing his mm-hmm. voiceovers or whatever, saying, and he's talking a touching story of a letter, mm-hmm. long distance dedication from a dead person, you know, someone who'd passed away.
The Negative Land did a whole album about it.
And then he's like, how do I fucking do a piece?
Mm-hmm.
Coming off a fucking upbeat number. He goes, yeah. How many times do I have to? It can't be an upbeat number, God damn it.
Yeah.
He's all pissed and yelling. Casey.
Yeah. Yeah. And I always think of those rants as, man, that guy was really into it if he's thinking that deep about it, you know?
I can't do a death story coming right off of a fast song.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so, I mean, but you Negative Land did a whole album about that.
Really?
Yeah, because he got all pissed off. And I think it might have been that rant. And then it was something about U2.
The band?
Mm-hmm. And he says...
And I watched it on
those
YouTube.
Those guys are... And here's a number by a band called... These guys are from England and who gives a shit? And so that was the name of the album by Negative Land. And it was like...
But they're from Ireland.
Five or six mashups of... U2. You know how they do the electronic kind of loopy kind of weird musical... avant-garde stuff.
Yep.
And it was just mashups of Casey Kasem doing that and chopped up I still haven't found what I'm looking for. and there were five or six tracks like that, and it was just totally ripping on U2 and their popularity and all that shit, and they got sued for it.
Number and 17 so, on today's top 40.
Now that is
from,
a rare item to have is that Negative Land album.
A band from England and I don't give a shit.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, that's pretty good. Well, hope Casey, maybe someday you can come back into the world of music. I doubt it, though.
Well, I wonder whatever happened to Rick Dees, man. What's Rick Dees doing?
Dude, I think Rick Dees is the big D. I think he finally passed
what?
Away. What?
That so. Didn't happen.
Look it up.
All right. Ruck Dees.
Okay. other breaking news.
Wreck my cool switches.
From last week... they have actually identified the individual who was the mystery pooper that we talked about last week. They have found him, but they have not released his name to the public yet.
Mystery pooper where?
Remember we were talking about that guy who was pooping around?
Certainly.
He was the fecal felon.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And it was around Ann Arbor, Michigan.
I would expect that goes on there by more than one person.
Well, now they're thinking that there might be some copycat crimes going on. Mm-hmm. So, or else they didn't catch the right guy. Mm. He said, I think if this person is put out of commission in terms of what they were doing, like shitting, then we should all be safe. And the whole saga has generated a lot of interest in this area, Prospect Park, from around the country. People are coming there, and it's actually invigorated the economy a little bit there, just in time for the weather warming up. So they might have been a ploy.
They should sell the turds. Like they do, I hear they do this in some places, my friend. I think he was from Minnesota.
Okay.
He didn't have a Minnesotan accent, though.
Well, some people move there, you know, and they don't have that accent.
Mm-hmm. And people, like, I never think of anybody from the Northwest having to change their accent. Like, you hear, Stephen Colbert, how he... was from somewhere that has a deep accent, and he had to actively work to not have that accent.
Well, journalists and news reporters and mm-hmm. stuff really strive for that non-regional diction. That's what they call it.
Yeah, but I never hear of anybody from the Northwest having to go all non-regional diction. They all just sound like Colin Cowherd.
You mean up here, us? You mean us?
Well, I just mean anybody in the Northwest. I never hear of them going.
We talk like
my accent's too thick that from the Northwest that I have to.
No, we talk like regular white guys, like the black guys make fun of. Like every white guy mm-hmm. talks like this. He pronounces his words all fully, and you
think of like Die Hard. That's probably like your straight American dialect, right? Like
Bruce Willis, your
regular dialect, right?
In Die Hard.
Just all the characters in Die Hard.
Okay.
Now watch a movie that's supposed to be set in Seattle. Or is the dialect different than Die Hard?
No, but it's different than Goodfellas.
Well, sure, certainly.
Because they're talking like this the whole time. What do you say? He's like, get out of here. What do I fucking make you laugh or what?
Rick Dees is still doing the disco duck. Yep. You know he's the third?
Rick Dees the third?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Rigdon. Osmond.
Rigdon.
Rigdon. Osmond Dees the third.
Rigdon.
Yep.
That's weird.
Yep. He performed the title song for the film Meatballs. Did you know that?
No, but I know he did Disco Duck.
Yeah. How does the title song go for Meatballs?
I don't know.
How long has it been since you've seen Meatballs?
Shit, probably since it came out. Maybe 5 years after, to be ironic, before being ironic was cool.
Because mm-hmm.
Bill Murray's cool. Isn't that a Bill Murray movie?
I think so.
Yeah.
But then they did like 80 of them, didn't he?
Maybe two. Maybe three.
I don't think Rick Dees is doing much anymore.
Yeah, I think he's...
In like 2012... He was hosting a morning show of R&B oldies station at Hot 92.3 in Los Angeles, and he had the Daily Dees syndicated.
That's weird, at 92.3 in Los Angeles, because there's a 92.3 in Portland, Oregon.
Yeah, he had comedy albums.
I bet he did.
I'm Not Crazy. Rick Dees' Greatest Hits, The White Album. And Put It
Owl.
Where the Moon Don't Shine.
Whoa, he's being opposite on everything.
And Hurt Me Baby, Make Me Write Bad Checks.
Ooh.
Which received the Grammy Governor's Award.
The governor?
What is the Grammy Governor's Award?
He's the governor.
Is that like, you guys have got, I'm the governor, you guys are going to give this guy
a Grammy. He's putting
a
cap on it. They're capping him off like a governor on a truck. You know, you can only go a certain amount. He's governing you. You mm-hmm. won, but barely. F plus is what you get.
Other guys who have won it are that guy in the big hat.
The guy in the big hat?
Yeah.
Who dat?
What's everybody, Farrell?
Oh, God. Fucking hate that guy. He's happy? His song is happy?
I don't know. I saw somebody sing that song somewhere and it wasn't anything like it.
Dude,
I can't remember who it was.
One of those things, man, mm-hmm. just fucking bugs me. I don't like that guy. I don't like him. Not personally, for mm-hmm. real. I don't.
But is he from Canada?
I don't think so.
Why does he wear the Mountie hat?
I don't think it's a Mountie hat. It's like an Old Navy hat or something.
It's an Old Navy hat?
Well, he wants you to think it's like a fucking Vogue hat or some kind of real fashionable hat. But
well, like Slash's top hat.
I think I remember, maybe I might be confused, and I hope I am, so I don't know my Korn trivia, but I thought Pharrell was on an old Korn Follow the Leader CD. I thought he was on a couple tracks back, like, in the
Follow
90s.
The Leader.
Remember when Korn was kind of almost still trying to be cool? Cool Korn.
They were okay.
Back, you know, whatever. Mm-hmm. I don't even know.
Yep.
Hey, did you hear about? You probably didn't go. I didn't either. But
you know he sold his Grammy's hat? I imagine that's the Mountie hat, right?
Yeah,
he sold it for $44,000. You know who bought it?
Martha Stewart.
No, it's a fast food chain that bought it.
Oh, Arby's.
Yep.
I thought it looked like Arby's. I thought that's where
he
got it from.
That's who bought it. They bought his oversized Vivian Westwood hat for $44,000.
Fucking weird. Vivian Westwood.
And his hat has its own Twitter account.
I bet it does. It probably has its own fucking Facebook account.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, well.
I don't even know. I don't think I've ever heard that song.
When you, I didn't think I had either, but then it's on commercials and stuff. So you go, oh, that fucking piece of shit?
Ah, that piece of shit?
Maybe I'll bring it up later and you'll say that. Right. Just when you're not expecting it, it'll come up and you'll go, oh, that fucking piece of shit? Mm-hmm. Speaking of pieces of shit, I was kind of stoked actually because Heisenberg, old Walter White, he's in that new Godzilla movie and it was a fucking blockbuster. It made like
Godzilla.
93 million.
Somebody said it's the new Jaws.
Right on. Well, I heard that it made...
He doesn't sound like he's living in the water, does he?
93, he came out of the water. 93 million in America only, and in fucking worldwide, 196 million in one weekend, dude.
Yep.
That's fucking ridiculous.
You know what? You know what's crazy, though, is that, I mean, I won't see it because I already know how it ends.
No, you don't.
I've seen the spoiler.
It's different.
No, I already know how it ends.
I read the whole plot synopsis on Wikipedia.
I know. At the end, they give him a Snickers bar, and it calms down.
It's like, sometimes you just aren't yourself when you're, not, when you're hungry. No, and I also found out that Bryan Cranston plays a character that ages 15 years in the show.
On that show, does he get more balder?
Yeah, he shaves his head and becomes addicted to crank. Just kidding. You know what they did, though? In New York City, they have declared that they could handle a real attack from a 350-foot-tall sea creature.
Where?
New York.
All right, let's see. They couldn't even handle...
They think, what would we do if Godzilla attacked? Well, clearly, it would cause fire, explosions, casualties, damage, debris, bridges and tunnels being out, roads being out, power issues, and some slime.
How tall is he, for real?
350 feet tall.
All right, so how big a cross would his...
His tail?
No.
Swath?
Would his foot be, though?
His foot? Probably be a good... New York City block.
Yeah. Because you're thinking if you're 350 feet, you know, just picking up your feet is going to be a good at least 12 feet to wipe off most buildings just by picking up your foot.
They're trying to say that the only thing that they really couldn't deal with is the slime. What's the slime from? It's like, I thought that was, isn't that Ghostbusters?
They're just probably talking about being able to take him down with like a bullet to the chest, right?
Oh.
Like you shoot a rocket into his chest, they'll take him down, but there'll be a lot of damage.
A lot of slime. Well, they say in the event of a Godzilla attack, they'd be looking for areas of evacuation. They said he's huge, but he's not going to be able to overtake the whole city at once, so they did try to determine what sectors of the city had to be moved.
But they determine if he was hostile before they took him down, though.
Oh, I think he's really hostile.
But what if he wasn't, though? What if Godzilla showed up in New York and he wasn't hostile? Would they just, like, check around? No, if he's just, like, minding his own business, but he was knocking over buildings and stuff, you know, just because he was so big and killing people, but he wasn't aware of it. It was like stepping on ants.
He picks up a bus and he throws it back down. And I didn't know what I was doing. I just thought, oh, that looks, is that food? Nope.
Yep. Yeah. It's just like throwing.
Well, in this movie, he's pissed
ground.
Because they blew him up inadvertently at the Bikini Atoll Islands. You know where they used to do those testings of huge explosions? Well, they were doing these huge explosions, and then, like, right when they said, okay, explode, then you see him coming out, and it goes. That's what I heard the first of the movie is, and then he comes back, like, years later for revenge. But I don't really know firsthand.
Godzilla, he fought King Kong, didn't he?
He did.
And who won?
I don't know. That's a good question. I don't think either of them won. They both submerged into the... He fought Mothra. He fought them all.
Who would you like to see fight Godzilla?
Hulk Hogan.
That would be cool.
But he's got a severe disability because he's not 350 feet tall.
I think you could probably... Well,
I don't know if there's any other monster that's that tall. King Kong.
Well, you got... What about a Brontosaurus?
Is Godzilla just a huge lizard, or is he like a Tyrannosaurus? What is Godzilla?
No, he's a lizard creature. He's one of those 12-foot tall blood-drinking lizards like George Bush.
12-foot or 350-foot tall?
Well, yeah, they gave him a growth hormone.
Ooh, that's it. Godzilla. he's going to be getting arrested pretty soon because he's on steroids. And no monster should be able to wreak that much havoc on
his own. What they should do. What if Godzilla was a baseball player? He'd have a huge strike zone between the knees and the shoulders.
Yeah, the pitcher could be terrible. He could throw it anywhere. He's just like, what the fuck?
And Godzilla,
like, that was a fucking. Yeah. He walked Godzilla. How could he walk Godzilla?
I mean, he couldn't use a bigger bat or anything.
And you really don't want to walk Godzilla because he'll fucking destroy the whole stadium just walking to first.
God, he is a giant monster.
How is he really now?
Mm-hmm. Originated from the Tokusatsu films.
Oh, say that again. Tokusatsu.
Tokusatsu. Yeah, but he has became a. Now he's just a pop culture icon.
Yeah, he's a movie star though. He had a movie in '98 with fucking Ferris Bueller. Did you ever watch that one with Ferris Bueller
and Godzilla?
Yeah, in '98. Matthew.
No, I didn't watch that.
What?
One.
Dude, you should go back and watch it before this one comes out on video.
Was it good?
No, but it'll give you some perspective. I'm saying words that aren't real.
Oh, about how good this next one is because that one was so bad.
Some friends who said that it was pretty good, but I've had some of other friends that said, oh, here's what our friend Seth Milstein said.
The Matthew Broderick one?
No, about the new one. He said, okay. I saw the new Godzilla. It's better than the one with Ferris Bueller. But not as good as the original.
Oh, Godzilla's Day Off. Isn't that the one? I might have seen that. Isn't that the one where he convinces Godzilla to take Godzilla's car?
Yeah.
And then they go into a parade.
Yeah.
And then Godzilla sings Donkashane.
Yeah, and then they put the car up in the thing, and then they try to run the miles off it by going backwards on a. Mm-hmm. And then Godzilla.
I probably would have tried that in my day.
Dude,
if
Godzilla bumped
it. I hadn't seen that movie.
He bumped it and knocked it off the jack, and there goes the car.
Yep.
What are you going to tell Dad now?
You're going to make some diamonds in your coal.
Bueller?
Your cool coal butt.
Bueller? And he pulled it off, too. Mm-hmm. Can't believe it. Oh, yeah, I almost forgot. I came under a little bit of fire. I knew it was going to happen.
Fire!
I knew it, but I don't care because I'm a journalist of sorts. And I touched on a little bit of a touchy subject on my interview with Chris Castles about physical altercation that happened between a couple comics, one from Portland, one from Austin. And Chris wanted me to put it up there on the Portland Comics Board because he lives down there and he was there and he knows the people. And, you know, he goes, these people are talking about it because they don't know what they're talking about. So let me set the record straight. Then the guy who's involved got all shitty and was like, don't you have anything better to do? You know, like it's Xander DeVoe. I'll say his name. I've never met the guy. I did a show with him once, but I never met him.
Mm-hmm.
And he moved to Austin, and Christine Levine had vouched for him down there in the scene.
Mm-hmm.
And then he ended up getting in a drunken fight with another comic down there and breaking his jaw in three places and caused him to have like three surgeries and miss like 6 weeks of performing right before an important competition.
Mm-hmm.
And bailed and whatever. I don't know either of the people. I'm just Chris Hansen. Or whatever. So I'm talking to Chris Castles, and I'm saying, well, what do you think about it? So he goes, he told me, and he said, you should put this up there on the comic board because there's been a lot of talk about it, and people are saying, you know, Christine Levine is a little bit upset with people embracing Xander when he came back to Portland and acting like nothing ever happened. She's like, we're a community. This is kind of a family. We should be able to talk about it. And he's telling me that I'm being high school because I'm gossiping about something that's none of my business.
Mm-hmm.
I said, well, it's not that it's my business, but it's the business of the people who are concerned about what happened. And he said, well, yeah, it's something that happened between two people, and it's those two people's business. And, you know, he was like, grow up, and kind of doing some derogatory comments. Mm-hmm. And I said, well, the last time I beat someone up was when I was in high school, and I've grown up since then. Because, you know, he's fighting people.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, my wife and I share a Facebook, so she really is defensive about me. She mm-hmm. loves me like crazy, a little bit too much sometimes. So she sometimes can't help her little thumbs. Mm-hmm. And so she went right on there and said, the only thing I've seen from Xander is a pussy who's posting stuff behind a keyboard. And he's always like, because he's kind of a wild card. I don't know him, but he's always kind of passive aggressive and dickish online. And so she said, and that's my opinion. And if you don't like it, I'll be in Portland on Saturday and you can come meet my size eight Doc Martens, you punk. And then signed it Mrs.
Mm-hmm.
Some people don't see the misses, so he thought it was me.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, wow, that's quite a violent reaction from me just telling you that you should mind your own business. And then she said, that was actually me who was being violent. This is the wife. And then he said something like, you are harassing a 23-year-old. Don't you have anything better to do? And I'd kind of already talked to the wife saying, you know, don't do that.
Yeah.
And she goes, yes, I do have something better to do, like deleting my comments and getting out of here. So she deleted that comment, and then it's just kind of a miniature shit storm, but I don't care. Mm-hmm. I didn't say or do anything. I just did my podcast and did an interview with a comic who
probably getting defensive because he's probably ashamed of how he acted and that the whole thing went on, or you know, and just wants to put it behind him.
He does, and I understand
and,
that. And the only reason that
the other guy,
out,
you know, probably doesn't take away that he missed all that stuff either, though.
Yeah, and he lost his job and he lost his house because he lost his job and he couldn't pay his rent because he was in the hospital and has a lot of jobs can't say, well, you got
you know, then the next step is Judge Judy.
Exactly.
You know, and hey, then they both, you know, I think that they would both win in that because they would get exposure, right? And they could make jokes with Judge Judy.
Yeah.
And you get, like, the free trip and then, like, a $500, right, for the appearance.
Yeah, I think both people get paid. Like, it's kind of a win-win situation.
So, I mean, you'd get, like, whatever the verdict would come to, you'd get the $500 towards whatever you got, your final judgment or whatever. And, you know, maybe you could say something about your DVD for sale.
My DVD?
At the while you're up there.
Or say, like, you know what else? He stole the box of my DVDs. And it's like, what DVDs? Well, they were my Chris Castle's Live at the Fucking Shack DVDs. Mm-hmm. They're on sale on eBay for $5.99, and he stole the box of them. It's like, did you just plug your fucking shit on Judge Judy? No, I was just telling you what got stolen. Don't piss down my leg and tell me that it's raining, you little son of a bitch.
Don't rain on my leg and tell me it's pissing.
Don't rain in my mouth and tell me you're pissing, because I like that shit. I can tell rainwater from piss, and I prefer the piss. That's what Judge Judy says.
Have you ever dropped a baby?
No, No. Right. I had to think about it, but
there was a place somewhere
I almost
in the world
one. Caught him by his little toe.
Really?
And he cried. No, I'm just kidding. I'm always real careful. I don't hold babies
Certainly,
very much,
you know. But it does happen to some parents. You know, you'll drop a baby or something. Or
I
know
some people who've been dropped.
You know, and babies can handle a good fall sometimes.
Sometimes.
Dude, check this out. Somewhere in the world, I'm not sure where.
Come on now.
Dude, a baby crawled off of the back porch and it was 11 stories up.
Tears in heaven.
I know.
Did it die?
Nope.
Oh. What
happened? Didn't even get brain damage. It just broke a couple arms, fractured its back, and got a bruised lung.
That just goes to prove you, them kids, they're resilient.
Oh. 11th story. I guess the dad was playing with the baby and the sister and then went into the kitchen for a second.
Yeah,
and then the other daughter said, hey,
dad.
They just crawled off the back. I don't know. I think
he
might have been pushed.
Did he have a loose fitting shirt that like acted as a parachute? Maybe like.
What are you doing? What are you doing with the kid on the balcony of 11 stories? Should he be renting a place 11 stories up in the air if you have a baby?
I don't know. That's just weird. It's like one of my friends posted. I just figured out "Tears in Heaven" by Eric Clapton on the guitar, and now I feel really sad. It's like, fuck, why'd you learn it? Because he's just thinking about that kid falling 64 stories. That's more than 11 stories. Mm-hmm. But
so if he knows "Tears," if he just learned "Tears of Heaven," right?
"Tears in Heaven,"
"Tears in Heaven."
Yeah.
Do you think that he already knows "More Than Words" by Extreme?
It's the same song, isn't it?
I don't know. But if you learn "Tears in Heaven," you're probably the type that would sit down and learn "More Than Words."
Huh.
Right? Because they're both acoustic, you know, they're both good guitarists.
When I learned that song, I learned everything but the words.
Of which one?
More Than Words.
Exactly.
I just learned the music,
mm-hmm.
which is More Than Words, because it's harder to play the music than it is to sing the words.
Well, certainly.
I'm just making up shit right now.
Well, Nuno Betancourt was...
He had his fingers fucking insured for $1 million.
Yeah. Yep. He was the talent of that band, though, right?
Yeah, pretty much. I've been watching a funny new show.
Get the funk out.
It's called Short Poppies with Reese...
Witherspoon?
No. Reese from fucking Flight of the Conchords, the manager. you know that guy?
Yeah.
He is funny. He's hilarious.
He is. He was on the show
with Marc Maron, and he actually climbed Kilimanjaro.
Wow.
And he's climbing to Mount Everest.
How many Kilimanjaro did he eat?
They're climbing to the base camp of Mount Everest, him and some other comics. And they're having people who want to have a comedy show, attend a comedy show on Mount Everest, pay money.
Well, the base camp's just like at the bottom of the mountain.
Yeah, but that's still like a fucking 6-day hike.
Certainly.
Dude, there's dead people all over Mount Everest. Did you know that?
Well, yeah. Well, they actually cut the... Didn't they... All the Sherpas boycotted the climbing season because a bunch of them died, right?
Sure. They sure did.
That happened a couple weeks ago, I thought.
I know. Yeah, but this guy, he's funny. I can't remember his last name. Reese Dobby. Maybe Reese
Dobby.
But he's got a show called Short Poppies, and it's on Netflix, 8 episodes, and he plays a different character each episode.
What is it, Short Dots?
Short Poppies. Short Poppies. Like, you know, those things you make heroin out of.
I'm sure poppies must be some Australian term or something.
No, it's about a field of poppies, and some of them are short.
Wow.
He's a shorter one right here. He plays a lifeguard on the first episode, and it's very funny. And then he plays a leg model in another. He's like, I've got legs. Check out he plays a sexy leg contest. He's fucking funny, dude. I've been cracking up with that dude. So check that out. That's hilarious. And I talk more like from fucking New Zealand than anything. Hey, and our buddies in Poison Idea down there in Australia right now, they picked up a couple extra gigs, and they're immensely popular in Australia.
Wow.
So it's their first time down there. It's a bad time to quit the band there, Jeff.
Did you know that Jimmy Page got a doctorate degree from Berklee College of Music?
Recently?
I don't know. I think so. Pretty sure it was recently.
I did not know that.
Like last year. But you know who else has an honorary doctoral degree? And this, I think it was like 2012.
George Clooney?
Steven Tyler did in 2003. 9 years before Stephen.
Wow.
Jimmy Page. Let's see. In 06, Melissa Etheridge.
Just goes to show you, money can get you anything.
David Bowie in 1999. And in 07, your favorite Floridian.
My favorite Floridian?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
That's a lot of them.
She had a sound machine.
Oh, Gloria Estefan.
Yep.
She has a doctorate. Well.
LL Cool J has a doctorate of arts degree from Northeastern University. They gave it to him the same year that his daughter graduated there.
Who did you say first had a doctorate?
Jimmy Page.
Oh.
And yeah, but he's been getting it lately. Mike Tyson has a doctorate in humane letters.
That just goes to show you, money can get you anything.
And in 1989 from Central State University. You know where that is?
It's in the middle.
In the middle of?
The state.
Nope, it's in the middle of the country. It's in Ohio.
It's in the middle of the state of Ohio, though, right?
Is it? I don't know.
I don't know.
And this guy got a doctorate of amphibious letters from Southampton College in New York. Kermit.
The frog?
Yep.
Jim Henson?
Nope, just Kermit.
That's not true, because you can't...
He gave it an acceptance speech.
Well, I guess it's if Mike Tyson can get
Kermit
one...
Kermit the Froggy.
Well, then Kermit could get one. If Mike Tyson can get one, then Kermit could get one, too.
Jim Henson, he's the people who died. Oh,
he
shit.
He is.
Oh, shit.
Marilyn Monroe, she's dead.
Yes.
It was 52 years ago today. She sang "Happy Birthday" to a president.
Happy birthday
to all presidents at once.
To you.
You think Obama ever listens to that? You think he ever gets caught by his wife listening to that?
No, but I heard that him and Michelle are both big fans of the Chappelle Show.
Are they?
Yeah.
Huh.
And Neil Brennan, who is the co-creator.
Brennani.
And does a podcast with somebody or mm-hmm. something and had a recent special. He actually met the president. The president gave him a hard time about why, Chappelle's show was so short. It's only 3 seasons or something like that before he freaked out.
But doesn't Obama know what went on there? They did try to extend it.
It's like, well, I do know what was going on, but I'd like to know the real version of what's in Hans's CD player today, because I'm the president of the United States. And sorry, Hans, we missed Friday. We got busy and we're overwhelmed. And oh, yeah, we need money, too. Not from you, Hans, but from anybody that wants to send us money.
Please.
I'm just trying to tell you why we missed out on Friday. And Friday, he was listening to someone I've never heard of before. So we're just bumping that up here to Monday. The Verruckers.
The Verruckers? Verrucker salt?
No, a different kind of verruca. It's Verruckers. Verruckers. Mm-hmm. I should have looked up to see what the fuck was up with them, but I have no idea. It's an album.
Verruckers.
The Verruckers. Mm-hmm. How Do You Sleep is the name of the album.
Hell, if you're a verruca.
Actually, you know what I'm going to do? Oh, yeah, I'm going to do two. That was Fridays, because we missed Fridays. So today he sent me another one. Today is another band I've never heard of. So let's look up both of these, because I'm freaking out.
I already looked one up. Can you name all the members of the Verruckers?
I can name zero.
There's Rat on vocals. Biff on guitar.
Biff?
Yep. Sean on guitar, Brian on bass, and Stick on drums.
Dude, these are fake names, I think. Or something.
The Verruckers formed in 1979.
Okay.
They are one of the first to play in the musical style of hardcore punk.
Oh!
Or no, D-beat.
Oh, D-beat, okay.
Mm-hmm.
Which I don't even know how they came up with that name, D-beat, but I know Discharge was a big... pioneer of the D-beat.
They also carry anarchist political ideology.
Oh, really?
Yep. They were known as the Verruckers at the beginning.
With an A?
Mm-hmm.
And they changed it to Verrucker?
Yep. They changed it because they wanted their band to be more aggressive. They wanted to change their image to more aggressive.
Wow. And a hard R is better than an A any day.
They were part of a broader trend known as UK 82.
Wow. Oi punk.
Mm-hmm.
So look up this band then. Today, Hans is listening to Secrets of the Moon. That's a band. Secrets of the Moon? What? Hans?
Secrets of the Moon.
Come on, dude. He's listening to an album called Seven Bells by the band Secrets of the Moon. Guess that's better than a Jet Li. Or The Best of Li.
The Best of Lee.
It was supposed to be Lightning.
The Best of Lee.
It was supposed to be Lightning Hopkins.
Yep.
And in tribute to the blockbuster movie, I was listening to Gojira, a band. I don't speak French very well, but their album is called L'Enfant Sauvage, which looks like L'Infant Sausage.
The Verruckers took the existing punk sound and melded it with incessant heavy drum beats and wall of sound distortion guitar sound of new wave of British heavy metal bands such as Motorhead.
Verruckers?
Mm-hmm.
Huh.
Yep. I was listening to Godzilla's distinctive roar, which was created by composer Akira Ifukube.
Ifukube?
Yep. I fuck you, B. I F U K U B E. I fuck you, B.
That's pretty much I fuck you, B.
He produced the sound by rubbing a resin coated glove along the string of a contrabass and then slowly down the playback.
Huh. It's crazy, dude. Okay, here we go. Secrets of the Moon are a black metal band from Osnabrück, Germany.
Mm-hmm.
Founded in 1995. Okay, Hans, that's cool. You're cool. You know bands that we don't know, and you listen to them.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, speaking of like bands like that...
What's a white metal band?
It's like Domesticide.
Would that be Christian?
No, it's just white guys. I was going to say something. Oh, that one guy, other people who died, was that famous artist dude, H.R. Geiger counter.
Ah, yes.
He wasn't a counter, though.
No, he wasn't.
But, yeah, he passed away.
He makes some cool art.
He did. I think he actually painted the picture that became the cover of the Victims album. That is my tattoo. I think that's a Geiger piece.
Yep. He did with Machina.
Machina?
Isn't that how you say it?
Probably. I don't know.
Machina. Is that where you got, like, funky machines and stuff like that, or like machine art?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Machina. Machina.
Machina.
It might be pronounced Machina. I thought it was Machina.
He was born in Chur.
In Church?
Chur.
Where's Chur?
Capital city of Graubünden.
Oh, did I know that? Chur, I did. Chur.
It's a canton of Swiss.
Canton?
Mm-hmm.
Are you pronouncing that with a Pacific Northwest accent?
I am.
In Canton?
Yep.
For Chur? Chur,
yeah,
dude.
He died in Zurich.
Zurich?
Yep.
You are using it. God damn it. Mm. I saw a thing that showed a picture, and it might not be real, but it was an automated order thing at McDonald's. It's like a little...
Oh, was it a Machina thing?
It was a Machina.
A McDonica?
It was a McDonald's machine. Mm-hmm. It was a little machine with a touch screen, you know, and you say, I want a quarter pounder, and you put your money in it.
Yeah.
And it said, $15 an hour? Say hello to your new replacement, because those McDonald's workers have been saying they should be getting $15 an hour. Mm-hmm. But I wouldn't doubt it if pretty soon they're just going to have self-service machines.
I don't think it would so much like affect McDonald's, because they have the funding to, you know, provide.
Yeah, but they're money hungry, just like all the other companies.
Well, they would still, you know, because they need the workforce, they would still employ them, but all the prices of everything would go up.
Yeah.
And then the ones that would really be out would be like the smaller businesses who would have to, you know.
Match those wages.
Yeah. You know, the ones that are struggling that barely survive but keep the people employed, like a, you know, like a mom and pop shop.
Yeah.
Which, they're the ones that are going to have to pay the more and then raise the prices for everything. And, you know, I don't know.
Yeah.
It's no easy solution. That's all I'm saying.
That's true. Well, this couple went to McDonald's out in Iowa.
Iowa?
And they believed that they were served up some marijuana-topped burgers. They thought they were...
No one's wasting weed by giving it on your burger.
Dude, this chick is pregnant, and she said she ordered two McDoubles. And when she ate
it's because she's eating for two.
Yeah, well, no one was for her boyfriend.
Oh.
And she ate a substance that she believes to be marijuana. Mm-hmm. Her boyfriend brought her the food, and I offered a bite to my 2-year-old son. Luckily, he didn't take a bite. And then she took a bite of her burger, and she got mad at her boyfriend. She thought that maybe he had cologne on his hands or something. She's stupid. Then she opened the burger, and the cheese was just covered with weed. She says, once I opened those burgers, you couldn't smell McDonald's anymore. You could only smell the illegal drugs that were on it.
Oh, come on. I don't buy that.
The Autumna Police Department is looking into the matter, and drug tests on the McDoubles are expected to be back in approximately 2 months. Fucking 2 months? What the fuck?
I don't understand. Was it just the pieces of bud put on the burger, or was it like a baggie of weed?
It says the cheese was covered with weed.
So do you think if you put weed on a burger and then put the cheese on and then all of a sudden took it off, like...
You just smell weed.
Yeah, I don't think it would be smokable because it would be all covered in oil, right?
No, they wanted you to eat it. You were supposed to just eat it and not know and just get wasted. I'm just trying to help. Just trying to help. Actually, my boss was coming. I'm like, fuck, what am I going to do with this weed? Nothing, just making a burger. Ain't got no weed. That was lettuce.
Why do you spendy prank for something that you wouldn't even be able to see the response of, right? Because if they were in the drive-thru.
Yeah.
Then you wouldn't.
Yeah, it doesn't say if they were in the drive-thru or what, but it says the lieutenant says he can't really quantify how much there was on there. It appeared to be something that may have been intentionally placed on the burger, and they're trying to determine who actually put it on there.
The thing smells fishy to me because she thought that he had cologne on his hands. Wouldn't she smell the cologne before if he had the cologne on his hands like that he'd put on
cologne? Yeah, she said she took a bite of her burger and got mad at her boyfriend because it tasted bad, and she thought maybe it was because he had cologne on his hands when he bit it.
Yeah, I bet he doesn't even wear cologne.
Then I opened the burger, and the cheese was just covered with weed. So
I think they're just trying to get a lawsuit going. Are they suing?
That's so funny that you'd say that. It says neither of them needed medical attention, but a lawsuit is possible if the tests do come back positive for marijuana. Now, they could have just put the weed on there themselves.
Yeah, because what guy is that works at McDonald's is fucking dumping even a 10 sack on your burger for you to drive away? And then he
wants $15 an hour. He can't afford to be putting $10 worth of weed on a thing or whatever.
Exactly, dude. Exactly.
I smell something fishy, and it's called...
Maybe that guy's in on it. Maybe it's an inside job.
You know what it is? It's called fucking Filet-O-Fish.
You drive through the drive-through, and then... I'll put weed on your burger, and then you guys can sue McDonald's.
And I'll make sure and be on the camera so I'll get fired, and then I'll sue them for getting sued.
Yep.
Sue everybody. And then this dude from Hillsboro just the other day called 911 to ask where he could buy some marijuana this morning.
You don't have to call anymore. You could just text him and ask him.
That was a quote. I heard that, too, but this was his quote. Was say, you know where I could buy some marijuana this morning? Because it was morning when he called.
And then, did he have a card?
No, but they said you called 911 for that.
You could just text and ask him. It's a lot easier.
I know. So here is a transcript of the card. The man says, "Where can I?" Or they said, 911, what's your emergency? And he said, "Where can I get some marijuana?" 911 says, "Excuse me?" He says, "Where can I buy some marijuana this morning?" "Sir, do you realize you've called the police department?" He said, "No, I didn't. That's very interesting. Let me ask you the same question. It's a legitimate question." She said, "Which question is that? Where can I buy some marijuana this morning?"
"My vagina."
After the dispatcher told the man that she had some in her vagina, no, she told him that she didn't know the answer to his question, and he thanked her and hung up. But the police were still dispatched to go check on him.
Dispatched.
Fucking whatever. To go check on him. So we talked about weed at McDonald's and then McDonald's. Now we have another Oregon McDonald's story. This lady in Beaverton is pissed because she heard them playing Color Me Bad's hit, "I Want to Sex You Up."
"I Want to Sex You Up."
In the ball pit. Not just the ball pit, but the whole children's play area.
Now, was it the Muzak version or did it have lyrics?
No, it had lyrics. And she said that she now knows the song too well, and her children know it too. They went to McDonald's because it was super hot and I wanted my kids to be able to play. And they were playing for a little bit, and then I heard the song come on, and it was singing, "I Want to Sex You Up." My daughter came up to me about halfway through the song. She says, "What's sex you up mean?"
She did not.
And she's 6 years old, and she wants to know what.
Well, you could have made anything up.
And according to this lady,
she obviously thought it was one word, "I want to sex you up," and she's probably thinking, "Oh, this sounds like ice cream."
Is that a sex you up? Could I get one?
I know, it sounds like an ice cream pop, like a Flintstone.
So she's also pissed because they play tunes like Blackstreet's No Diggity and The Boy Is Mine by Brandy and Monica. So they are investigating the matter.
"The Girl Is Mine" by Michael Jackson.
So you go to McDonald's and you get a McDouble with weed on it, and then you put your kids out in the ball pit and they listen to "Sex You Up," and then you call 911 to see if
they have the "Color Me Rad" in Eugene. You ever been to that?
I've heard of it. I don't know what it is exactly though.
It's a race.
Is it a muddy race?
No, I think at the end they throw that chalk shit on you that makes you turn colors.
Oh.
You know what I'm talking about?
I do.
You get a personal color blaster. And boom goes the color bomb. Well, that's not a good advertisement to have on their website. Boom goes the color bomb. No, it's a marathon website.
You can't say bomb on marathon.
You can't. Learn about us. All right, here's what it's all about. Color me rad. Color me rad.
Well,
how it works.
Here's how it works.
You just throw shit on you.
Shit or chalk?
You start off with a shirt as pure and white as your granddaddy's dentures, and throughout the run, we'll coat your chafing thighs with color bombs. A blue, green, pink, and then it'll dye your hippie shirt.
Okay. Then, it's kind of like going to a Guar concert.
Yep. It is exactly like that, except for you're running. And you probably that'd probably be fun to breathe that in while you're running.
Yeah, that helps your respiratory system big time, I've heard from other people that I know that have done that. Today we have a couple birthdays that I'm going to talk about. Pete Townsend, How old do you think? He's older than I thought.
75.
Well, I guess he's younger than you thought.
72.
He's 69.
Ooh.
And then Dusty Hill.
Oh.
You know him from...
Yep, from...
It's his birthday. He could officially retire if it was still the 70s.
Huh.
You know, retirement age used to be...
63?
65. And do you know Phil Rudd?
Phil Rudd.
It reminds me of that new comedian guy who's not new.
Paul Rudd?
Yeah, but it's not him. Phil Rudd is the drummer from AC/DC.
Oh,
he's 60.
That's going to get me all hot going on a topic here.
Phil Rudd?
No, Paul Rudd.
Okay, before you get hot on Paul Rudd, the only birthday that matters today, local friend and Fred Meyer hanging out dude, Gary Dixon today.
Oh, hey, happy birthday, guy on a bike that I sometimes see when I'm going to the store and he rides his bike on by.
And sometimes my friends see him at Fred Meyer's because he spends a lot of time down there.
Yep.
At Freddy's. He's... I'm going to out you because it says it on your Facebook. 49 today.
Right on. Happy birthday, Gary.
Gary Dixon. And I'm going to post this on your page tomorrow. Well, today is today. It's Monday. Happy birthday, you fucker. Thanks.
I remember Gary loved this movie, as did you too, New Jack City.
Oh, yeah. Ice Cube or T? Ice T.
It's one of the... It's Ice.
One of those Ice guys.
Yeah, hey, but by the way, was on that album.
Thanks, Gary, for letting Sullen and Angst Ridden practice in your laundry room. Those were fun days.
The 6x6 laundry room.
Dude, that was fun. It was little.
Two washers and a dryer and an exercise machine.
And a band set up. Yep. That was the birth of Sullen with Jake awesome. Quinette when we were still called Wanker.
Mm-hmm.
And then Angst Ridden used to practice there too. So,
you remember the song, I Adore Mia Moore by Color Me Bad?
No, I don't. I didn't even know sex. Well, I know I Want to Sex You Up just because it's been in movies. I want to sex
they were
you
in,
up.
They were in New Jack City. Dude, Paul Rudd, why can't a host just host Saturday Night Live anymore?
Was he the host this weekend?
No.
Oh.
That's my point.
What happened?
What the fuck was he on there for in multiple things?
Oh, was he in multiple? Who was the host? I missed it.
Adam Sandberg.
Oh, with Andy Sandberg and Ambly Ambler.
And this is my other beef with Saturday Night Livid.
You're livid about
it. I am livid about it.
Okay.
What the fucking let a guy have some space by the time Jesus that he was on the fucking show like 3 episodes ago.
Who, Sandberg?
He was a cast member like last season, wasn't he?
Yeah, but that was like a year ago.
That was like 4 episodes ago.
No, dude, you're behind the times.
Okay, 13.
Andy Samberg. Well, they have people host every year.
How long was it before they brought Chevy on as a host? Or Bill Murray?
The next. Oh, Bill Murray was like 30 years or something like that. He only hosted once.
I guess he was never a cast member, though.
Yes, he was.
Was he?
Yep. In the third to fifth season.
Okay. What about Dan Aykroyd? They bring him back the next year after
he
quit?
Remember that one time when recently in the Five Timers Club and Aykroyd was there?
But it wasn't even just...
And he's like, oh, no, he's only hosted once. He's just the bartender.
It wasn't fucking... What about fucking...
But fucking what?
Huh? It wasn't even just Paul Rudd. It was... What's-his-face is on there, too. This is some other cast member that just left.
Oh, Sudeikis?
No, the other one. He might have been on there, too.
Hater?
Yeah.
Yeah, because they always do that. I mean,
I know, but Houston didn't do that.
No, they do. Well, not in the 70s, but back in the day.
It's becoming unspecial.
Okay. It's not Saturday Night Live special. It's just...
Yeah.
It's
just, I watched some of it, and some of it was funny. There's a couple musical bits. The Lonely Island had a fucking thing, you know, and it was all right, but it, you know, it didn't really grab me like some of them do.
Yeah.
And then they had... one where he was a rapper, Blizzard Man, and he came in to do some cuts, and he kept going, check out how I do this, and then he would go into some, like, crazy white rap, and he'd always talk about, I can't remember what it was, but it was always something silly.
Was Andy Samberg in, like, every sketch or not?
I didn't watch every sketch.
Oh.
I only watched, I caught, like, the last... you know, maybe 45 minutes, and then I turned it off with 10 minutes to go because it was going to commercial after the band played.
Ah.
It's a weird band. I'd never heard of them. Saint Vincent?
Yeah, that's one of the... Was it a chick? Yeah, she's one of the ones that sang with Nirvana at the Hall of Fame.
That was a weird.
Her
it was a weird
and
visual.
Ward.
It was a weird visual thing because they were moving to the music, and then they had the strobe lights on both as her and this other chick were moving forward and backwards, opposite, and I don't know. It was like, it's weird.
I'm disenchanted with the whole music fucking scene right now.
And then you got, I don't know, it probably could have been funnier if they'd given him some fucking space to become a star on his own. Fucking come on. They used to have stars.
The place
they used to have fucking stars host that show.
Yeah, now it's...
Not that Adam Sandberg isn't a star, but come on, he just left.
Yeah,
but
I know. He's got a hit show.
They had Tina Fey on right after she left. They already had her on 17 times, I think.
I know, and then when Jimmy Fallon left, they had Amy Poehler come back, and Tina Fey and Jimmy Fallon and everybody.
You know she
on
makes
there.
$200,000 an episode?
For 30 Rock?
No, for Parks and Rec.
Tina Fey? Amy Poehler. Oh, Amy Poehler, okay. Yeah, I don't doubt it. She's a rich
bitch.
It's
a lot of fucking money when you got like 20 episodes a year, you know?
Yeah. Just like back in the day, fucking when Seinfeld was getting a million an episode and they make 22 episodes a year. I can't even fathom that shit. We'll talk about that more on Wednesday because I got a story, yeah, a story about morons and brand new cars that don't get sold that I want to talk to you guys about on Wednesday, but we probably better get out of here for today. Nah. I do want to remind you on Friday, this Friday, just coming up on the 23rd, I'll be up at the Capital City Theater in Salem, 210 Liberty Street, right across from the Grand Hotel with my good old friend Stephanie Pirtle. I think she's going to be headlining. I'll be featuring, and my buddy Jeff Parks will be there as well. And I think Jared Richard will be hosting. Not too sure, but just it might be in the plugs, but I just wanted to remind you. I don't know where plugs are going. I've just about had it with plugs. We did a lot
of
plugs.
Hey, you just did some plugs.
I know. I just did one. Maybe I'll just do a few plugs for our, oh, and then Saturday you can come see Void play up in Portland with
Sweet
Spawn. Fucking some other bands. That's at Ash Street Saloon. And it's $6. I was saying $5 in advance and $7 at the door. Nope. It's just $6. It's $6 everywhere. So I guess I kind of wasn't lying.
Also, everybody going on this weekend, I encourage people to tweet Shaq.
Hashtag Shaq?
Yeah. And then ask him to go on his next Shaqfari with them. Did he know he's into...
Is that a thing?
Yeah. He goes on Shaqfaris.
Dude, I'm going to throw up in my mouth a little bit, I think.
Well, that's what he calls it when he goes big game hunting.
It's gross.
Shaqfari.
Why does he need to go big game hunting?
he just likes going. He goes on Shaqfaris. He likes to hunt wild boars. And
he is big game.
And stuff like that. Wild boars. Could you imagine him shooting a wild boar?
Yeah, like a 2,000-pound pig.
Dude, it weighs as much. It's probably taller than him, right?
And then he picks it up
a 7-foot wild boar.
You see him slam dunk a fucking boar? Three-pointer? No, he can't do a three-pointer. No, I didn't know that there was such a thing as a Shaqfari.
Yep. I don't know if he takes people on there with him, like, publicly, but...
So all you guys should tweet it.
But he should. He should take people wild boar hunting.
It's too boring for me. Hey, go to tagcastpodcast.com and fucking give us some money or we're going to have to stop doing this.
I know. We need some boar bacon.
We do. Just $1 from everybody. There's a thing on the left that says donate. Right next to it or under it that says Amazon too. You can go shopping.
Yes, that helps us too.
Okay, you guys, thanks for listening, and we'll see you on Hump Day. That's all I got. Metal up your arses.
Rock on
with your bad selves. Oh, and color me bad. I'm gonna sex you out.
This guy's rock.
I gotta get their CD.